We welcome to the program a talented singer-songwriter who burst on the scene back in 2003 with a great cover of Dolly Parton's Jolene. That led to a record deal and a string of terrific albums, One Moment More, Long Island Shores, Stupid Love, and the self-titled 2012 album Mindy Smith. We have not had a full album of Mindy Smith music in a dozen years, but that changed on Friday with the release of Quiet Town. Here to talk about it, we are so happy to be joined by Mindy Smith. Well, Mindy, so excited to have the new album, Quiet Town, out. What does it feel like now that this music is out there in the world?
Oh, it's exciting. I've been, you know, looking forward to finally bringing out some new songs. It's been a minute for me, 12 years, that is, if that counts as a minute.
Well, I understand a big part of this, the impetus to create the album and go back and look at some songs that you've had around for a while, was your single that you released, I think, last year, Little Wings.
Yes. Well, the thing about Little Wings is it was actually the song that I wrote that kind of launched my desire to create a whole album. It was... You know, it's kind of about having found myself insecure and hiding, you know, hiding in my walls and whatnot, and just trying to figure out how to break out of that mindset. So it kind of inspired me to reach out to Nielsen Hubbard. I spoke with Heather, my partner in all things business, and so. She's like, well, let's do it. Let's get you rolling with that. And when we finished the album that's out Friday, that came out Friday, it seemed like that song just almost didn't sit with the other songs the way I thought it would. So we thought, why not just throw it out there and let people hear it anyway. So we went ahead and released that early.
Now, you mentioned Nielsen Hubbard. You'd worked with him before on Songs for Shelter Me.
Yes, I worked with him before on Songs for Shelter Me. I wrote the song Who Saved Who with Matthew Perriman Jones, and we sat down and, you know, he worked for a long time, has worked with Nielsen. And so I was like, well, let's get Nielsen involved. And Stephen Latham, who is the producer of that show, Shelter Me, had reached out. And I'd written another song for their program. And it's creatively titled Shelter Me. I didn't go too far outside of the lines with that one. And it inspired in me my team just to maybe do a little bit more for the folks that are out there, you know, putting it out on the line to help find these precious creatures homes and going so far. I mean, pilots, you know, flying their planes and amazing stories of just sacrifice to help out.
Well, I love the show. The music was wonderful. Well, let's talk a bit about some of the songs on the new album. You mind if we listen to a little bit of the first single?
Not at all.
Let's check this out here. Give a listen to Jericho from the new album Quiet Town.
On the radio, bones and signs on the desert road shoulder, raising up hell like a holy roller, rolling down to Jericho.
I love that song. Written with the wonderful Matresa Berg. What was that process like?
Well, it's hard not to be fangirl. He is, and in many other writers and artists' opinion, legendary and an influence. So once I got past that that element, we really started talking about, you know, just the world around us and the things that we were seeing that seemed so unnecessarily hard at the time. And we decided to write a song. She had an idea about Jericho, and she'd been, you know, just sort of studying that time. And I said, well, you know, why don't we go with that? And it fell under the page. And she's such a wordsmith and great at creating visual images, which I think is a gift and a talent in and of itself. And so to be able to sit and write that with her, we'd written it back in 2018, and I always loved it. And I went back and listened to it a few times, just our work tape and whatnot. I'm like, this song really could be special for somebody or people to hear, and I think a lot of people feel this way. So my thought on the song is that love is powerful, and a lot more powerful than we give it credit for these days, and it can sort of bring us back together.
We're talking with Mindy Smith here on Downtown. Her brand new album is out now. It's called Quiet Town, and the title cut kicks off the album, and it just sets the tone for everything. It pulls you right in, and I don't know, it's the song, it's your voice. I just found it a very healing song. Now, am I right that at least it started out as a song about Nashville?
No, that was Quiet Town. Quiet Town is the title track. Quiet Town started out as a song sort of sitting on my back porch, hearing plane go overhead and realizing that when I first came to town, it was a lot. There wasn't a lot of that going. You wouldn't have planes just flying over. Our airport has grown extensively since I first came here over 20 years ago, and just triggered some lamenting and thoughts of how much Nashville has changed. I initially started to feel like a little jaded about, you know, missing the charms, you know, some of the more legendary places like on Music Row that have now been replaced by condominiums and things like that. But it's rather heartbreaking. But then to realize that how fortunate I am to have experienced that time in Nashville that drew me here. And it sort of morphed into a song about any place or any town or any time that maybe you feel blessed to even be able to recall and reminisce. And so I feel like that song became a little bit more universal than it initially started out.
I'm one of those people who likes to listen to an album the way we used to when everything was on vinyl, and you would start at the first track and work your way through, read the liner notes, and become wrapped up in everything going on there. How much thought do you put into the sequencing of songs on the album?
That is a good question. That is a very important element to me, because unlike you, I also like to be able to, first of all, somehow I memorize the key the next song's in, and I get excited about when it's coming up, when I'm listening to albums that have really affected me in their entirety. And I'm a believer that every song should stand alone, but should also play well with others. So the initial sequence that I'd chosen for this record was different, and we'd gone through the whole process of mastering and all the things, and it wasn't sitting right with me. And I was almost sick about it. I'm like, well, do I go back and resequence it so it does feel right? And so I did. I went a little bit out of the way. Every step takes a little longer, but in order for it to feel right, I did have to resequence the record for my inner spirit. And I'm glad I did, because I feel like the songs really do kind of line up, you know, lyrically, melodically. To sit well as somebody would be listening, hopefully listening through.
Absolutely. I love the song Light of Mine. Was this sort of the opposite effect of Little Wings, that it was the work on the album that inspired Light of Mine?
You are so intuitive. Yes, it is. Actually, so Little Wings kicked off my idea for writing the song, putting out this album. And then after Nielsen and I had chosen all the songs that we were going to record, I came up to my little space and I wrote Light of Mine because I was so excited. And I felt like the journey really did take me to like finding the source of light within that I felt I'd maybe hidden for so long. And I got, because I'd gotten so excited about making music again, Light of Mine just sort of fell on the page. And I said, this song, I called him that night after I'd written it, because it didn't take long to write. I said, okay, I'm sorry, I have this other song, I just wrote it, I really want to put it on the record. But he was, you know, he's so easygoing, and he wants the artist who he works with to feel like, you know, the album really is telling the story that they want to tell. So we pulled it into the mix, and it may have been the one song that kind of pushed Little Wings out. It's kind of a funny story. I kind of feel sorry for Little Wings.
Well, I love every song on the album, but can I play in my personal favorite?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, here you go.
Sometimes I'm a dove who soars for days. Sometimes I'm a sparrow singing in a cage. Most times I'm just trying not to fall. And I'd rather be a bridge than be a wall.
Man, that song kills me. It's a song we need in these times. I'd rather be a bridge.
Yeah. That was a song. Actually, we were downtown. I was downtown with Heather, and she was taking pictures under the bridge down here in Nashville, and said, I'd rather be a bridge than be a wall. And I thought of that too. And I said, that is a really good, actually, song idea. And I felt really strong. There was a lot of talk about things like that, that I felt was, you know, a lot. So I had to write with a fine writer and producer and artist, musician, K.S. Rhodes, scheduled, and I brought it to him, and it just flew. It flew out, and I was frantically trying to type down all our ideas, because I feel like maybe, which was a great indicator that, okay, a lot of people are feeling this way. and again, it also talks about shutting myself in, or shutting, you know, and I think, ironically, where we would all wind up, not shortly after, but we would be isolated. I found myself way too comfortable even prior to those years and being isolated. And I think just the dream and the idea to sort of overcome that and come out and just make ways for people to get to me and vice versa. And I hope that message is conveyed. I think we achieve a lot more as a bridge than we do a wall.
No question about that. You had such a big life event not too long ago, and I certainly identified with it, because I met within the last few years four sisters that I didn't know I had. What was it like for you in meeting your birth family?
It was amazing. And truthfully, I'd known about my biological mother and sister for quite some time. When I had my first album come out, I did a video with a little known lady named Dolly Parton. I'd sung a song called Jolene of hers, and she joined, and she, you know, she just really got behind me and supported me. It was for her album called Just Because I'm a Woman, celebration of Dolly Parton songs that Steve Buckingham produced. Fast forward, I had a video on this channel, as you will, back in the day when they did that. And they'd seen me and made contact. My sister made contact through, do you remember MySpace?
Yes, I do remember that.
The OG social media network, or whatever you want to call it. And so I had some years between having that information and communicating with my sister before I actually found the courage to go and meet the family and my biological mother, who was lovely. And I'm thankful I did. She actually would pass away 18 months later. Mm-hmm. And had I waited much longer, I wouldn't have had the blessing of peace and closure, because and I'm not sure if your story's like mine. I'm adopted, and I had a wonderful family that I grew up with, and sisters and a brother and mom and dad, but I still felt like I just didn't know. I didn't know the rest of my story, if you will.
Right. It's like pieces of the puzzle that were missing.
Right. And you do wind up feeling like a little bit like somebody didn't want me or something like that. Mm. You can't help it, even though that's not what you've been told your whole life. At least in my case, I was always told that I was wanted and, you know, chosen and picked and all the things. But it doesn't change that little bit inside of you that just has a little bit of ache or hurt. And having been able to close that or open the door, you know, that closed the other door, it really did bring some peace. And to find out that I actually have this kind of music, Appalachian and Americana roots music in my blood as a Long Island girl, came full circle. I really do feel like there was some kind of blood thing there, because it turns out my biological family are all very musical, played instruments. They did all of it. So I got a lot of answers on a different sort of deeper level than I had even anticipated. So
that's wonderful. Well, cool. The tour begins soon, and you'll be here in Maine this Sunday, October 13th, at One Longfellow Square in Portland. And it's been a while since you played in Maine, I think, isn't it?
It's been a few years, and I love playing in Maine. I actually love Maine, so I'm very excited to be coming back up that way. It's one of my favorite places, Portland, Maine, and so is One Longfellow Square is one of my favorite venues. It's just a really cool place. And they love the music, they love the art, and so you feel that when you walk into that room. And I'm really looking forward to seeing everybody.
Well, I still make mixtapes, although, you know, now they're all digital instead. But I think on every one there are some great Mindy Smith songs, whether it's What Went Wrong, Out Loud, Highs and Lows, Pretending the Stars. It's so great to have some new music from you. The new album is absolutely wonderful, Quiet Town. Mindy, I've enjoyed your work for, well, ever since you first burst on the scene, what seems like yesterday to me. So good to have the new music, and great to have a chance to talk with you today.
Well, thank you. It's been great to talk to you, and I look forward to seeing everybody. I'll be up that way, 3 shows in a row, New York, Boston, and then to you also. We'll see ya.
Thank you so much, Mindy. That was wonderful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for being so, you know, knowledgeable and, you know, and asking me such great questions. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Travel safely, and good luck out on the tour.
Yes, I appreciate that. I need it.
Thank you, Mindy.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye now.